Thanks, Zach. Good morning, everybody. Great to see you. So, I love Acts. I love the book of Acts. The birth of the church, the empowering by the Holy Spirit, Jesus continuing his work on earth through his body, the church. So today we are looking at what we could call a pretty iconic passage. It's actually so significant that it gets told three times just in the book of Acts. It's a famous story, a very, very famous story that resonates beyond the church and into secular society. You know, so many people out there know about the Damascus Road. It's a moment, it's an encounter that changed the world. And what I want to do this morning is look at the two main characters, the two protagonists of the story, and reflect on what it meant for them to hear and respond to God's call. And then help us think through how we can hear and respond to God's call on our lives. Because the church that looks like Jesus, the church that continues the work that Jesus started, is the church that hears and responds. So we've got these two main characters, and if we could have the first slide, that would be brilliant. I've only got three slides, so... So obviously no one knows what Saul, stroke Paul, and Ananias look like. The image on the left is, I think it's Rembrandt's depiction of Paul. And then the guy on the right is just a random icon of Ananias. But anyway, who knows what they look like? But we have these two characters. Saul, who of course becomes Saint Paul, who can probably claim to be the most famous Christian of all time, I think. Saul, who wrote a huge chunk of the New Testament. And Saul, who we know lots about. We know lots about him through Acts. You know, a lot of the book of Acts is the story of Paul. And we know a lot about him through the letters that he wrote that fill the New Testament. So we've got lots of biographical details about Paul. And then we have Ananias, who only has this very short moment in the spotlight. We know almost nothing about his background. We don't know what happens to him after this event in Acts chapter 9. All we know is that he's a disciple in Damascus. And according to Paul's later account in Acts 22, he was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. So we have these two people. And we have these two dramatic encounters with God. So we have Paul on the road, the famous road to Damascus, the blazing light of the presence of Jesus, the shatteringly clear voice of Jesus. And then we have Ananias, who had his own encounter, his own dramatic encounter with God, the Lord calling to him in a vision, Ananias seeing and hearing Jesus. It's all very exciting, isn't it? Two people, two encounters, and two examples of radical obedience. Two people given a part to play in God's big story of establishing his kingdom on earth. The story in Acts chapter 9 almost always gets referred to as Paul's conversion. A dramatic and very unlikely conversion, given the fact that up until that point, he was really into persecuting followers of Jesus. Paul's life gets completely turned upside down. Now, we all love a good conversion story, don't we? But this story could equally be labelled as Paul's commissioning or Paul's calling. The life-changing encounter with Jesus is followed by a life-changing call. And this is made very clear in Acts 9, verse 15. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. And then in Acts 26, 17, another account of the Damascus Road event, we have Jesus saying to Paul, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So Paul gets this huge commission, this huge call to reach the Gentiles with the good news of Jesus. And as I'm sure most of us know, the Gentiles, that's just that word that means all the non-Jewish people. So basically the rest of the world beyond the land of Palestine, Israel. God's call on Paul's life was to spread the gospel way beyond the Jewish community. Now, as I've been spending a bit of time in Acts chapter 9 over the last couple of weeks, what I've been really reflecting on is actually the two different types of call given to Paul and Ananias. So for Paul, it was this big whole of life call, wasn't it? A call that would define the rest of his life. This total change of direction. For Ananias, it was a call for that day. A call for that day. We could describe it as a smaller, just moment by moment call. Jesus' call on Ananias for that day. Now, we know Ananias was a devout follower of Jesus, but the story in Acts chapter 9 is just about what Jesus told him to do that day. We are all called. We are all called. As Christians, we don't just believe in Jesus, do we? We follow after Jesus. We follow his call on our lives. Now, first and most importantly, we follow his call to love God and to love our neighbours. And we could describe that as a generic call. It's the same call on all of us, to love God, to love our neighbours. But then we have to pay attention to the unique call, the unique commissioning that God places on our individual lives. God's personal invitation to each of us to enter into God's story, to partake in his kingdom and his work on earth. It's Jesus' work. It's Jesus' ministry, and he chooses us, he uses us. Sometimes it's a big whole of life call. Sometimes it's the moment by moment call. But we're all participants in God's story. We all have a crucial role to play. And if we are now the body of Christ on earth doing his ministry, we need to know what he's calling us to do. Now, as I say, sometimes this unique personal call can be for the pretty big stuff, like Paul's commissioning. And the big life-changing calls are exciting and memorable. We remember where we were when they happened to us. I remember exactly where I was, I don't know, about 12, 15 years ago, when God called me to start the ministry that I'm still leading, Accessible Prophecy, which is now kind of running in lots of places around the world. I was in a New Wine worship service when I wasn't expecting it at all, but all of a sudden, I got like this download of what God wanted me to do. It just happened. Last weekend, I was leading a retreat with a group of people, and two of those people were women who are church leaders, and they have this very, very clear call on their lives. One of them is a very senior church leader. One of them leads a local church. But they both describe this call on their lives to church leadership. They've heard the call from Jesus. They've heard that commissioning. And despite the challenges, despite the cost, they have said yes to that call. And they know it's a long-term commitment. Many of you will know Charlotte Cadena's story, you know, the wonderful Charlotte. Charlotte's not here today, but she's given me permission to share it. So just briefly, and I know lots of you know this story, but back in August 2004, so 20 years ago, Charlotte was in South Africa, and she was actually testing a call to foreign missions when she heard the voice of God calling her back to Sheffield with the words, "My sheep need a shepherd." A very clear call from God back to Sheffield. It was a divine invitation to put down roots in Shire Green. And within 10 months, God had miraculously provided the means for Charlotte to buy a house in that area. And she moved in there initially with three other young adults, and they started building a community with and for the people of Shire Green. And the rest is history. You know, she's still there with her family. It's an amazing story. As I said, the big life-changing calls are exciting and memorable. But just as significant are the small daily calls, those Holy Spirit promptings, where, like Ananias, it's all about being obedient in the moment. We can agonize over questions of what God's big call on our lives is. What am I called to do? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Perhaps we worry because we don't feel that we have had a big call. I actually think we can leave the big calls to God. He will work sovereignly. They'll probably come when we're not expecting them. But instead, what we need to do is to make sure that we are open to the small daily calls. That's our responsibility. Be open to the small daily calls. Sometimes the call on our lives as Christians can feel a bit overwhelming at times. To be out there demonstrating the kingdom of God, to be out there being the hands and feet of Jesus. But what it nails down, what it comes down to, is simply a moment by moment willingness to be attentive to the Holy Spirit and to respond to whatever the Spirit calls us to do that day. Those Holy Spirit whispers. Take a cake round to your neighbour. Text a friend to ask how they're doing. Offer to pray for a work colleague. I'm part of the WhatsApp prayer support group for a friend of mine who's a church leader up in Scotland. And this is what she posted on the WhatsApp chat today. And this is just an example of her recognizing a Holy Spirit prompt. She says this: "I met with a guidance teacher from the local high school yesterday. We have a pupil starting a placement in our cafe come August, so he was bringing him round to check us out. We got chatting, and I felt the Spirit prompt me to share about prayer spaces in schools. To cut a long story short, I've got an email from him and the deputy head this morning inviting us to run a prayer room in the high school for a week in February next year as part of their mental health week. Thank you, Jesus. She felt the Spirit prompt her in that moment to take that little step of faith and ask this teacher from the high school about prayer spaces in schools. And as a result, they've got a whole week of setting up a prayer room in that school. Could we have the next slide, please? I think these verses from Colossians chapter 1 really speak into this challenge to moment by moment respond to God's call on our lives. This is what Paul writes. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. That's a great prayer to be praying over each other, to be praying over our lives, isn't it? But I wonder if Paul was thinking back to the Damascus Road as he wrote these words. Perhaps he was thinking about Ananias, because Ananias was filled with the knowledge of God's will in that moment, and Ananias bore much fruit as he obeyed that call. So, how do we discern the call? How do we stay filled with the knowledge of God's will? Whether it's the really big calls on our lives or whether it's the moment by moment calls. Well, I'm going to suggest three things. So this is just the final slide. Thank you. And they all begin with P, because that's what you have to do when you're preaching in church on a Sunday. So yeah, next slide, please. Thank you. There we go. So I'm going to talk briefly about posture, about prayer, and about people. So the first one is posture. And if we're going to really discern and respond to God's call, we need a posture of surrender. So posture is just the way our hearts and minds are attentive to God, isn't it? And it's that attitude of our hearts and minds. I am surrendered to the will of God. It's a posture of not my will, but yours be done. This is about surrendering our own agendas. This is about consecrating our lives to Jesus every day with an openness to follow him wherever he leads us. And I think as we, because it's challenging this, you know, asking ourselves, am I totally surrendered to God? So if I got one of those nudges from the Holy Spirit tomorrow at work, would I do what Jesus was asking me to do? I think part of this is considering whether we might have selective hearing. Now, last week, St. John and I, we had the joy and privilege of dog sitting. The most beautiful dog in the whole world, Lottie, Brett and Vicky's dog. She's delightful. She's lovely and she's well behaved. Certainly much better behaved than our old dog. Lottie is perfectly behaved until it comes to sticks. If she has an eye on a nice stick, Lottie has selective hearing. And you can be standing there by the back door. You know, she spent all week going down to St. John's beautifully laid out like log pile, finding a nice stick, bringing it back onto the lawn and chewing the stick. So next week, I'm going to have to kind of tidy up all the sticks that are all over the lawn, but never mind. If she's there with a stick, you can be standing by the dock, by the back door, trying to get her in. Lottie, come on, and she completely ignores what you're asking her to do. She has selective hearing. And I think as we consider our posture before God, that desire to follow him moment by moment, or our desire to follow God with the really big calls, I think we need to ask God, Lord, are there any areas in which I have selective hearing? You know, Jesus, I want to follow you. 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 Unless you ask me to do that. Do we have selective hearing? The second thing I think we need to attend to is prayer. Prayer consists of attention to God, attentiveness to God. So part of developing our prayer life is welcoming the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding every day. You know, every morning, just praying those simple prayers, Lord, help me to enter into all that you're doing today. Every morning, praying to the Holy Spirit, I want to follow you today, Holy Spirit. And then we simply stay attentive to all those little prompts and nudges from the Holy Spirit. I think it's about creating those moments of pause throughout our busy days. And we just, for a few seconds, a few moments, just step back into the presence of God, reconnect with the presence of God, and just check in, you know, is there anything you want me to do in this moment, in this context? So let's build that attentiveness in our prayer lives to God. And then the final thing I think it's worth pointing out that can help us discern and respond to God's call is the role of other people. Because we need each other to help us work out the call of God. If we think that God has given us a significant directional word, you know, a real word of guidance of this is what I'm calling you to do, this is what I want you to do next, we absolutely need other people to help us process it, unpack it, and discern it. We need other people to help us test the call. We need to invite wise people into the discernment process. We need other people to help us with accountability and other people to help us stay obedient to God's call. And you know, the mistakes that I have seen people make is when they think they've heard God. They've had a clear call from God to go and do something, whether that's go and start a church, move city, do this, do that. But they don't have the discipline of involving other people to really unpack it, to really process, to really weigh it together, to fast and pray about the word together. I think it's significant that in this moment with the Damascus Road, God used Ananias as part of Paul's story. You know, God could have just done it directly, Jesus and Paul. But Ananias was brought into the story as well. And I think there's a little message for us in there about we need other people. And I think part of this as well is that we all have a role to play in spotting potential, in seeing the call in others, calling out the giftings in other people. Spotting the potential in other people. We want to be a church, don't we, where we are cheering each other on to step into our part in God's big story. You know, obedience is often costly. If God is calling us to do something, we have to count the cost. So we want to be cheering each other on, encouraging each other, standing around each other as each one of us chooses to be obedient to God's call. And together, we not only hear our own individual calls, but we can also discern the corporate call on us as a church. We need other people to help us do that. So, as I finish, let's choose this week to be open to encounter. You know, are we living our lives in such a way where we have that openness? Yeah, Jesus, I just want to encounter you day by day. I want to hear your voice. And are we prepared to surrender to the will of God, whatever he calls us to do, wherever he leads us? I'd just love to pray as we finish. If you're able to, I'd love you to stand up and I'd just pray. Jesus, as we read the story of the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9, your voice was so clear to Paul that day. Jesus, we want to be a people who hear your call clearly. I thank you for every single person in this church, everybody gathered here today. And I thank you for the call on their lives. Lord, we thank you for the call on each of our lives, the people standing next to us, the people behind us and in front of us. Jesus, we want to be a people who hear the moment by moment calls. Even tomorrow, whatever we're doing tomorrow, may we be sensitive and alert to your little prompts and nudges. But as well, Lord, we want to hear the bigger calls. And Holy Spirit, just as we have these moments of quiet near the end of our service, Holy Spirit, if there's any calling you want to do right now, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We want to welcome you with open hearts and open minds to whatever you are calling us to do. We surrender our lives before you, Lord God. Forgive us any selective hearing. That we can be part of your great big story here on earth. Amen.